Appreciate the songs. Appreciate our young people and the job they do. Thank the Lord for them. Thank God for everyone that's here. If you got your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to turn with me, if you will, to the book of Luke. I'm going to take our scriptures out of Luke this morning. 23rd chapter. We're going to read this, and then we'd like to get right into the message. I won't hold you long, probably, but I just mind the Lord. I don't know how long we'll preach, but we'll preach as long as the Spirit will have me to preach, and then we'll sit down. Luke 23. We're going to start reading Luke 23, right at verse 32. We'll read down about verse 43. It says, "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Amen. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Amen. And you can be seated this morning. Now the four Gospels all give the account of the crucifixion, and we all know we celebrate this time of the year. Last week we come together and we had our communion service, and this week we come together and we rejoice. We rejoice every Sunday, actually, but this time of year we celebrate the Easter holiday. And we know what Easter holiday is. We know it's the time where of the crucifixion and the burial and the resurrection. Luke's gospel here, he mentions where the place was, and he calls it Calvary. The other gospels, they say it's Golgotha. But Calvary is taken from the Latin, Calvaria, and the Hebrew word for that is translated Golgotha, both, and they mean place of the skull. You Bible readers, you know that. But as we look at this, historically where this was at the time, as we think about where they were in the city of Jerusalem, Calvary was one of the hillsides outside of the walls of the city. And we know that Calvary was not only outside of the city there, but it had a special place concerning the things in the old Bible. So as I look at the scripture and I think about what Calvary means, I guess the real question and the thing that I wanted to ask to you today, if we were to have a text or a thought on the message, is what does Calvary mean to you? And really, if we think about that, that's a question that everyone ought to ask themselves. What does Calvary mean to you? And the reason I put it like that is because the things that we deal with, or the relationship that we have with God, is personal relationship. Your relationship with God does not hinge on whether or not you're friends with a preacher. It don't hinge on whether or not your mom and dad was a member at a church. It don't hinge on whether or not your spouse goes to church. It don't hinge on whether or not you send your children to church. And it don't hinge on whether or not you got a Bible in your home. But your relationship with God is just simply that, a relationship between you and God. It's just that personal. And I hope today that you understand that. We're going to do our best to preach just a little bit about Calvary. And I hope today that Calvary has a special place in your heart. I hope today that Calvary causes you to stop and think, I hope today that Calvary, when it's mentioned, or the name Golgotha, when it's mentioned, it causes you to pause and to ponder and to think about what God has done for you and what He means to you and what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished at that place. But before we ever get to Calvary in the days of Christ, we looked in the Bible and it goes all the way back to the beginning. And listen, as we begin to look in Genesis, we find, there was a place there where Abraham had a son, and we all know, and if you've ever heard me preach, you know that we've referenced these things in the past, but I often say, hey, listen, there's nothing new in the Bible that can be preached. There is no new revelation in the Bible that God's going to bestow upon somebody, that somewhere down through time has not, some man has not preached at some other place. But I will say this today, that God has a message for the hour and the time that we're here right now. So I don't know who it is in the house today that needs this message, and it might be everyone that needs to feast off of the message, but I'll just say this, why don't we all just pull up to the table of God for a while and just eat what God has for us for now. Hey, listen, and it'll do us all some good just to hear the Word of God. And if you're saved, it ought to encourage you and strengthen you. And if you're lost, I hope it convicts you so that you might have a meaning in your life of what Calvary is before you leave this place. Because once you understand what Calvary is and what it meant, hey, listen, I'm not talking historically. I'm not talking about naturally, but I'm talking about spiritually. It is a special place, and it should hold a special meaning in your life because we rejoice because of the things that happened at Calvary today. Listen, so we look back in the old Bible, what is Calvary? You could say it refers all the way back in the book of Genesis. Listen, the Lord called it over there Mount Moriah. As we know that, we find the outside of Jerusalem. There's a city of Jerusalem. You got the valley of Kidron on one side, I believe it is. But that's a valley, and it goes up on the mountains. There's about three high places there. But in the book of Genesis, the Bible says when God had made a promise to Abraham, it come time in Abraham's life that God told him, I want you to take your son Isaac, and I want you to go up to the mountain, and I want you to offer sacrifice. Y'all know the story about Abraham and Isaac. We're not preaching anything new. Hey, listen, but we do know that as Abraham got his son there, listen, and the men were there with him, and his son was with him, they traveled along the place. The Bible says they started their ascent up Mount Moriah, and they got up there so far. Hey, listen, and Abraham turned to his people that were with him, and he said, you all stay right here. He said, but me and my son, we're going to continue to go up the mountain. Hey, listen, and they got up on the place, the high place of the mountain, and so it was as they were traveling, they had the stone, or they had the wood, and they had, listen, they had everything for the sacrifice, everything to make the sacrifice. But as Isaac looked at his dad, he said, Dad, I see all the things that we have prepared for the sacrifice, but Dad, I don't see the sacrifice anywhere. Oh, but Abraham said, Son, God will provide for himself a sacrifice. Hey, listen, you want to know what else? Notice in the Bible what he said when Abraham left his servants there. He said, we're coming back. Hey, listen, he knew that God would provide a sacrifice on that mountaintop. And when he got up there, hey, listen, after Abraham, God told Abraham to take his son Isaac, he got on the mountain and he began to lay his son down on the wood and lay him down there in that place. And the Bible says he had the knife and he drew it out of his sheath and he drew it back. But then all of a sudden God, hey, listen, spoke to an angel and told him to stop right there where he was. And as Abraham looked around, he didn't find just anything there. Hey, listen, and he looked around and he saw a lamb. He saw a ram stuck into the bushes by the horns. He found what was considered to be of the day of the very best sacrifice that could have been made. And God provided it on the mountain. Hey, listen, on that same mountain, Abraham said, this is Jehovah Jireh. In other words, God will provide. Hey, listen, for himself. So historically, all the way back in Genesis, we find that it was a place of sacrifice. God had told Abraham to go up that mountain and make a sacrifice. And when he got up there, what he found was the best there could be that was supplied to him. God had given it to him. He took it. He sacrificed the ram. He put it on the altar. He made the sacrifice on Mount Moriah. And listen, and he come back down with his boy rejoicing in God because he knew no matter where he was in life that God would always provide for him. Hey, thank God he's still providing for you and I. So it's a place of sacrifice. That's what it was. You say, why is that? Hey, listen, because it was the same Calvary. It was the same mountain chain. It was the same place outside of the city of Jerusalem. We find then later over, so the first week, look at what historically what it was in the Bible. I wrote that down. It was a place of sacrifice that God had called Abraham up into with his son Isaac. And listen, but we get down a little bit further and we find that when David was king, the Bible says in 1 Chronicles, I believe it is, in chapter 21, it says Satan rose up against Israel. You want to know what he did? He began to whisper in the ears of King David. And listen, and he began to tell David some things. And David went out and he called in the other prophet there, the priest, and he said, we're going to take a census of the people. And the priest said, no. He said, David, don't do this. Listen, God can multiply them by the hundreds. You don't have to number. And he said, we're going to do it anyway. There was nothing wrong with taking a census of the people, but there was something wrong with listening to the devil. And listen, and it's still wrong today. And David did. And listen, his pride got in the way. And the Lord come to him and he said, David, you have sinned against Israel. You have sinned against me. And David began to get broken. And listen, and so it was that the Lord told him, he said, now you can choose one of these three things. He said, for 3 years, he said, I will cause famine in the land. And listen, and pestilence will be across everywhere in the land for the period of 3 years. Or, he said, I'll give you 3 months and your adversary is going to come in with a sword and he'll destroy the city and take whatever he wants to. And for 3 months, I won't allow Israel to raise a single sword in the battle. They're just going to have to take it. Hey, listen, he said, the third thing, he said, I'll spare you the sword of the adversary, and for 3 days, you'll suffer the sword of the Lord. You know what David said? He said, God, let me put my life in your hands and not in the hands of man. Hey, listen, you know what the Bible says? There were 70,000 men got killed. Hey, listen, because the judgment of God came swift. But all of a sudden the Lord was up in the heavens and he was looking down and he moved with mercy and he had compassion. Hey, listen, and David cried out to God. Hey, listen, and the Lord spoke to the angel that had a sword drawn and he said, that's enough. Hey, listen, what happened on Mount Moriah? Hey, it was a place of mercy. God beheld it for himself. Hey, listen, and the servant come to David and said, hey, get up on the mountain. And David went up there and he found out who owned the property. And he went to Ornan and he said, I got to buy this place from you with money. Hey, listen, Ornan, he was a Jebusite. He said, you're the king. You just take it, whatever you want. He said, not so. But he paid him the money. He made the sacrifice. Hey, listen, he offered on the altar to the Lord. He built it there. You want to know what happened on Mount Moriah? On that place of sacrifice, that place of mercy. Oh, the Bible said that God come down in a fire. Hey, listen, and he come down on the altar because God had mercy on the mountain that day. God told the angel, he said, put your sword away. That's enough. Happened on that mountain outside the walls of Jerusalem. That don't mean much to me and you. If that's where it ended, we would read it in the text, Brother Dylan, and we would go our way. Abraham got a way out from not sacrificing his son. David found mercy in the mountain, and Israel was spared. The whole city of Jerusalem spared. God was going to pour it out on them. But then it carried on and it didn't end there. Because we just read to you there what happened at the place in the Gospel of Luke where the Lamb of God, the only perfect one ever lived, the only one that it was ever without sin in his life, the one that came to this wicked world, the one that left heaven, the one that left his throne, the one that left everything there to come here. Why did he do it? He did it because he loved me and he loved you. Because our sins were filthy in the eyes of God. And if we got what we truly deserved, God would have let the angel pull his sword out and rip every one of us to pieces. He would have cast us out away from him forever in outer darkness. We'd forever be separated in the devil's hell because that's where we belonged. But Jesus left heaven. Hey, listen, God provided for himself a sacrifice that would be perfect and unlike any other. Hey, listen, I know Abraham probably looked at that ram in the bush, and what he saw was a ram, a lamb that was perfect without spot and without blemish. It had to be without spot or without blemish. Otherwise, Abraham never could have offered it on the mountain. But to him that day, that ram was just for him and his son. But God sent a lamb for you and I on that same chain of mountain. Hey, listen, they marched my Savior up that hill, and he carried a cross that was grown. Hey, listen, that was cut down, and it was hewn, and it was tied together, and it was placed on his back, and he carried it all the way up that hill. Hey, listen, because they come together, and they have cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Oh, Victor, that wasn't me crying out. Hey, listen, it was every one of us took him to that mountain. Your sins put him on the cross. My sins put him on the cross. But you want to know what's better than all of that? Was he laid down himself, and he put himself on the cross. And when he laid down, he took your sins and he took my sins, and he nailed them to the cross. Thank God. The Lord provided for himself a sacrifice. Hey, listen, and on that hill that day, when we deserved judgment, God was giving us mercy. Hey, listen, because they raised him up between the earth and between the heavens, and the same Jesus, he looked out on the crowd and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It was not only a place of sacrifice, a place of mercy, it was a place of forgiveness for you and I. Oh, you might say, well, he was looking at the people on that day. Yes, he was. He was looking at the people in the crowd. He was looking at the man who was hanging next to him. He would have had mercy on both of them, but one of them rejected him because Calvary meant nothing to him. But to the other, what was taking place at Calvary was a precious Lamb of God was being provided for the sin of the whole world. And he said, when you come into your kingdom, will you remember me? And listen, and the Lord, Jesus forgave that man on the hillside of Calvary that day. He said, when I come into my kingdom, he said, you'll be with me in paradise. Today, you'll be with me. You think Calvary meant anything to that man? As he was hanging there dying? I have to believe what started out as a dreadful day, full of sorrow and sadness, ended to that man with a smile on his face and a peace in his heart. Because he knew that he was on the mountain where God was giving mercy, and God was bestowing forgiveness. And God himself out of heaven had provided for himself a lamb. Hey, listen, that was being hung right there that day. And Jesus looked out on all of them and he said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. In other words, they don't have a clue at what they're doing. But Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He knew why he was there. He knew the purpose. Oh, listen, so today, because Calvary was a place of sacrifice and it was a place of mercy and it was a hillside for forgiveness. Hey, listen, it's still the same for me and you today. What Abraham went through didn't mean a whole lot to me. What David suffered doesn't mean a whole lot to me. But what Christ did there means the world to me. I want you to know it's in my heart. It's in my soul. It stirs inside of me. The love of God constrains me. And it makes me hurt for the people that don't know him and don't have the same love of Calvary, the same joy of the resurrection, to know that they've got a Savior that loves them, that cares about them, that died for them. Oh, what good it would do our people if they understood how precious Calvary was. If they knew the glory of the cross and what it meant. What's it mean to you? I thought as I was sitting in the kitchen today, And I wrote that down. Just what does Calvary mean? You realize, as I preached already, it's a place of sacrifice, a place of mercy, and a place of forgiveness. To some, to you today, it's a place of indifference. You know what that means? Don't care. You're not concerned. You have no interest in it. You have no sympathy for what took place. Might I say today that it used to be a place of indifference for me too. For when I heard of Calvary, I thought about Jesus. And when I thought about Jesus, I didn't want to think too long, because I knew I didn't have a relationship with Him. And I knew to me, He was not a Savior. He was a story in a book. To me, He was a vacation Bible school lesson. To me, He was a Sunday school lesson. To me, He was some man, hey listen, that the world claimed was the Son of God. But He was in the pages, in the volume of a book, and it was somewhere in my house. That's what it was. It was a Bible story that Grandma and Grandpa got me, my little Bible, when I was a kid. And that's all it meant. But when it come to relationship and it come to Calvary, I was indifferent. Because truly, I had never experienced it for myself. Calvary is an experience for yourself. I didn't fly over to Jerusalem. I didn't walk outside the walls of that city. I didn't scale a mountain chain, and I didn't walk up on the mountain. I didn't do any of that. But I got a glimpse of Calvary right at an old-fashioned altar when the Holy Ghost come down and knocked at my heart and dealt with my soul. I got a glimpse for myself. You could say that I went there. I did spiritually. You could say that I knelt at the cross. Absolutely, I did. You could say that I begged for mercy on the same mountain that David begged. And I did exactly that. You could say that I saw the sacrifice that Abraham sacrificed. That ram, that precious lamb that was provided. I saw a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Jim Perry. And I didn't see it for Abraham. I saw it for Victor.
That's right.
God had provided Himself a sacrifice, and it was just for me. And I found it at an old-fashioned altar where I experienced it for myself. And Calvary was no longer a place of indifference, but Calvary was a place that made a difference in my life. All of a sudden, it was a place that was special in my heart. It meant something. It's precious to me, and it's still precious to me. And I'll say this, anybody who ever is going to walk through the gates of heaven, hey, listen, Calvary will be a place that's special to you and precious to you. Because when I get to heaven, I'm going to see the one that walked on Calvary, that hung at Calvary, that died at Calvary, and got up out of the grave because He loved me. Thank God for Calvary today. Are you indifferent? Or has Calvary made a difference? Made a difference to me, preacher. I hope and pray that it's made a difference in your life. I'm almost done. James, you can come get a song. Calvary's only a part of the story. As we said there so briefly, before we know what happened on that three-day time span, it was the Feast of the Passover. That was the critical time. That was a celebration time for the Jews to celebrate. What did they do, preacher? They celebrated the sacrifice. They celebrated coming out of bondage. They celebrated the blood. They celebrated the lamb. They feasted because God had delivered them from the land of Egypt out of the bonds they were in. But what they didn't realize was they were actually going about it in a much deeper sense now than it was ever done before. Because some might have been home, and they might have been taken to that lamb, and they might have been spreading that blood over the things that they were told to do to hold the feast. But on this day, the Lord Himself had provided a lamb.
Yeah.
One unlike any other. And God shed the blood.
Yeah.
Christ Jesus shed it on Calvary.
Amen.
So that you and I could come out of the bonds of sin.
Amen.
So that we could be delivered spiritually. Oh, we're all going to face death. Everyone here in the building is going to die. We're not going to pull punches. We're not going to pretend. If time stands, we're all going to be put in a grave. But the soul that's inside of me will never taste death.
That's right.
Because what happened at Calvary. Because I come out of bondage. Because I come out through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because in that 3-day period, the Lamb of God, He laid His life down. He went down through the depths of hell. Hey, listen, He delivered all of those that would come out from the beginning of time. Hey, listen, the Bible says, and He got up the third and appointed day, and death had no power over Him. And so it was that He buried Him in a tomb, and in 3 days He rose on the third and appointed morning. And when the women came down there to see the grave, to anoint His body and to bring those spices to try to preserve the body, because of things that happened in such a quick fashion and quick manner, that all they had time to do was prepare it in its linen clothes, but it had never been anointed. But the women were coming down there to anoint it, to try to finish the job of preservation. But the stone was out of the way, and the Savior was out of the grave. Hey, listen, He wasn't there anymore. And the only thing they saw were the grave clothes and the napkins. But as they were weeping and began to wonder all the things that were happening, pondering what was happening, hey, listen, then a voice come out of the garden, and all of a sudden Jesus began to call Mary by name. He said, go back and tell Peter and the disciples that I'm alive and I've risen. Hey, listen, tell them I'm coming to see Him. Thank God, He's still coming. He's coming back for you and I. Peter saw Him. John beheld Him. But they watched Him get out on a cloud and go up into heaven. You know what he said? Hey, the angel said, don't you stand here gazing. The same Jesus is coming back again, and He's coming for you and I. Oh, I celebrate an empty tomb. Yes, I do. I celebrate the burial. Can't celebrate. I wrote this down. Jesus told Martha, you remember that? He said, I am the resurrection. He went down there to see Lazarus. She said, I know my brother will live again in the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection, Martha. We rejoice. Can't celebrate the resurrection without recognizing the significance of Calvary. A lot of people want to talk about Jesus coming out of the grave. They just don't want to talk about what happened on the hill. Oh, preacher, I know that God loves us. Jesus got up out of the grave, so we'll live again. Before He got out of the grave, He shed His blood so we could have remission of sin. If you don't have any part with the blood, you ain't going to have any part with the resurrection.
Amen.
You're going to have to, when you go to heaven, you're going to be resurrected. Hey, listen, in a body that's likened unto His. John said, it's not yet appeared we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. I don't know what kind of body I'm going to put on, but I'll be glorified one just like His.
Amen.
And it'll be one that'll take me into heaven.
That's right.
And my soul's covered by the blood that was shed at Calvary.
Amen.
Place of sacrifice, a place of mercy, a place of forgiveness. And a precious place in my heart and in my life. And you can celebrate Easter any way you want to, but the bottom line and the heart of all of it is what took place on that hill and what proceeded and come out of that grave. That my Lord and Savior is not dead. He is alive. He is at the right hand of the Father. He is making intercession for me and you, and His blood still covers all sin. But you have to choose. There was a man on the left and a man on the right. And one of them mocked Him and railed on Him and made fun of Him and tried to bargain. Get me down, get yourself down. A lot of people think they're going to bargain with God. That's not how it works. The man on the other side knew what he deserved. He acknowledged what he did. And he acknowledged himself why he was dying, because he was a sinner. And he asked forgiveness because he knew the man in the middle had no sin on Him anywhere. If you ever want to get forgiveness, you're going to have to come to the man with no sin on Him. And you're going to have to ask Him to forgive you. And He will. But unless you do that, you will die lost. You will die separated. And you'll be separated from God and everyone you love for all eternity. Hey, listen, hell cannot be preached hot enough. Can't be preached hard enough. It's absolutely real. And we could say today that the reason that Christ came to Calvary was so that none of us would have to go to hell. So are you going to escape? How are you going to escape hell? You got to come to Jesus. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. As Brother Bob said, Jesus is, God is still in the saving business. You're going to have to deal with Him. You're going to deal with God here. I'm going to say this. You're going to deal with God here, or you're going to deal with God there. You can come and pray and get forgiveness here, but when you stand before Him on the other side, there is no begging for mercy that's going to do you any good. Jesus said there'll be a whole lot begging for mercy, but God will say, depart from me, I never knew you. You need to know Him here. You need to know Him on this side. This is the time, Jesus said. Jesus came here to save us here so that we could go be with Him. Because where He was, we couldn't go. People were dying lost, thinking they're going to heaven. They're not going to heaven. You can't get there. The Lord told him in one scripture there was a great gulf fixed between hell and where God was. The only one that ever filled that gulf, the only one that filled that gap, hung at Calvary. It's my Savior, your Savior. You need Him. While we stand, while they sing. Place of sacrifice. Place of mercy. Place of forgiveness. There's forgiveness for sin. But you got to come. You can have mercy and find grace. But you got to come. Jesus Himself said, lest you repent, you will all likewise perish. You might be here today saying, well, God knows the intent of my heart. Jesus said, lest you repent, you will all likewise perish. So then we know it takes repentance. We preach, repent or perish. Live or die. Heaven or hell. That's the choice. What are you going to do with Calvary? What are you going to do with Jesus? All I'd beg you to get on your knees, cry out, call on Him. God have mercy. You know what it took? That man who was hanging next to him was simply crying, Jesus, have mercy. Have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. You want to know what repentance is today? It's crying out, Jesus, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. I need help. I need you to save me. Jesus told him in one scripture, He said, I am the true vine. He said, you're the branches. If any man abideth in me, the same shall bring forth much fruit. And He said, without me, you can do nothing. So we can do nothing today without God, without Christ. We can't bring forth fruits of righteousness. We can't show God how good we are. We cannot please God. We cannot pacify the judgment of the sin that we reside in. But if we come to Jesus, our sins can be covered. Our sins can be forgiven. Our sins be cast as far as the east is from the west and never be remembered again. Never be brought up. That's how much God loves it. Loves you, loves me, loves us. So much that if we get covered in the blood, God remembers not our sin. Is a place of mercy, forgiveness. Don't you need mercy today? We all need mercy.
Won't you accept the mercy of God? Won't you accept forgiveness that comes through Christ? Or is Calvary going to be a place of indifference where you're going to turn away, walk away and say, don't mean anything to me? God, have mercy on your soul. For God spared not His own Son to come to this world and hang on that cross and die and shed His blood for you and I. For you to stand before a just and mighty God and say, it meant nothing to me. God, have mercy on those that would reject the Savior and walk away. There's still time, but you have to come. What are you going to do with Him? It's up to you. It's your relationship with God. I believe in my heart somebody's turned Him away. Probably more than one. That's between you and God. And I love Him. I love the Lord today. And you know what the church is going to do? We're going to keep praying for you.
Amen.
Because the love of God's in us. We're nobody's judge. But I will say, don't wait. You don't have to answer to me, but you're going to answer to God.
Amen.
So while there's still breath in your body, church, we need to keep praying for our lost. God, keep giving them another chance. Work on their heart. Deal with them. Pray that they come. We love everybody in the building today. We're going to ask if anyone has a testimony, anything on your heart.
I thank God for my salvation, Vic. I went up Thursday and spent the evening, and I was there all day Friday, okay? She's saved. I know she's saved. She's ready to go. She's convinced that she only has 2 weeks left.